The following hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World is brought to you by Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy, healthy pets.
Hey, hey, good morning, y'all. This is Martha Norwalk and welcoming you to the first hour of this week's edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. You can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us with your family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got internet access. And the best way to pick up the stream is go to the Animal World website. That would be www.marthanorwalk.com. Click on the Listen Live icon in the upper right-hand corner of the homepage. That will click you through to the 1150 KKNW website. Click on Listen Live again. That will bring up the instructions that you need to stream the show. And although I'm expecting it to be a really lovely day today, doesn't look that way right now. Look over my shoulder out the window. It's pretty gloomy and gray, and it's a good thing that I have something bright and cheery on the other side of the desk for me. Although, he's looking over his shoulder. What are you talking about? Sounds like, who is that? Willis and whatever on whatever that show was. Oh, I'm dating myself again. What's she talking about? Gary Coleman, that little guy.
Uh-huh. What's she talking about, Willis?
Yeah. That would
different
be.
Different strokes.
Uh-huh. There you go. Well, see, I'm not so old. You remember better than I do. Uh-huh. I need that brain stuff they were just talking about. Except that it comes from jellyfish, and I'm not sure if that's okay.
Is that good? Yeah.
I don't want to be killing jellyfish. Anyway, let's see. What was I talking about? Oh. Animal World production engineer Gary Hill is here. Good morning, Gary.
I don't feel bright and cheery.
Well, I was going to say,
is,
you know,
dark out.
It is, isn't it? It really is dark. And you know, I was going to tell you that's why I brought you on in the mid sentence because I couldn't. My trees were leaking this morning.
Leaking.
Well, see, because it's not supposed to be raining, but it's supposed to be foggy.
Uh huh.
But it was that up in my neck of the woods, which is out between Monroe and Salton, on the way to Stevens Pass. It was, the fog was like wet fog, you know, it was that misty fog.
Uh-huh.
And when I went out to get the paper this morning, it sounded like it was raining. But yet I could see clearly that it wasn't raining. So I stepped out and I felt that wet fog. But it was wet foggy long enough that the trees had accumulated so much moisture that the trees were raining. So, but it really isn't raining, so I call it leaking.
Okay.
So it's that wet a fog that my trees were leaking. And leaking loud enough that it sounded like it was raining. So if that helps you guys figure out what it's like around here, that's what it's like. But it's supposed to be a nice, yesterday was a beautiful sunny day, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was cold and then it got
It was cold,
nice.
But it was beautiful.
Yeah.
It was beautiful and sunny. I think it's supposed to be more of the same. But
that'd
be
wonderful.
Looking out there now, you could fool me.
I know. I had to look at the clock. Did I get here
too early?
I was starting the show at like 4 in the morning. What's happening?
Yeah, because it really is pretty dark. And well, we can barely make the outline of downtown Seattle, the buildings. You have to look really hard. Are you able to see that, or are
my
eyes better than you?
But it looks like it's about a million miles away.
Yeah, and there's absolutely no sea in the Olympics or anything.
No.
Well, we'll just
can barely see 405.
I think we better have some good news about animals today and get that sunshine going, because I promised the boys I'd play with them in the cat run when I got home, and it kind of has to be sun to take the chill off of things, because they're still children, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've got great stories to tell about ping and pong and the cat run. We'll get to that, but it's one of those days again. Well, I was going to say you'd be brighter and cheerier if you had a different jacket on.
I love this jacket.
I know you do. But it happens to be the wrong colors.
Oh, it's the perfect color.
Well, it's what that
it's the best
crimson,
color.
Crimson and white. Isn't it supposed to be crimson and silver or something?
Crimson and gray are
crimson
the
crimson and gray, yeah. How come it's crimson and white?
I don't know. It just looks good.
Well, I would tend to disagree with that.
I think you're totally wrong.
It sort of looked like a dull candy cane. Oh, yeah. Did you win this weekend?
No, we played Stanford.
Oh, that's just supposed to explain it right off
the
bat?
Well, they're number 7 in the country, so.
Oh.
With Andrew Luck.
Okay, now I'm being very patient with you. Does that mean that you're going to be nice to me now since you're leaving? And that you would actually play the Huskies, too?
I don't think it's in the system.
It is in the system. You know it's in the system, because we play the heck out of it when you're not here.
I know. Mike must have it hidden somewhere. It's not in your folder.
No, but it's in the warm section.
The warm section?
Yeah, that's where you get it from.
Why would the Husky fight song be in the warm section?
Because they must play it on warm.
Why would warm play it?
Because they're Huskies.
It doesn't seem to fit into their programming.
Well, I don't know, but that's where it is.
Warm 106.9.
Yeah. Bow down to Washington.
I want to be a jingle singer.
You do?
Yeah, I think that would be fun.
Well, let's hear you do the Huskies.
That's not a jingle.
Well, it could be. Well, then what jingle do you want to do?
I don't know. I just think it would be fun to do. I just did Warm 106.9. What did you think? Was that pretty good?
I could use a little, it was a little more enthusiastic. Well, of course, it is kind of supposed to be
elevator music,
isn't it?
Right.
So what else do you know? Well, who else do you know?
I don't know anymore.
Oh.
So maybe I need to work on it.
You want to try that again? Just.
No, I did it once. That's probably enough. I don't know if driving away listeners is really the goal.
No, I wonder even, is that still their jingle? Because I thought they spiffed it up a bit since they...
Probably, yeah.
I think they are the number one station.
Yeah, they're rolling. Very popular.
Which is good because they're part of our family.
Yeah, sure.
We sort of ride on their coattails.
It's great.
Oh, boy. Can you tell it's a slow day? Well, it's just me and Gary. Well, we do have some news, though. Other than the fact of our sad news. Well, I mean, it's good news and bad news, but it's good for Gary, but it's sad for us because Gary's days on Animal World are actually numbered.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have decided to take Sundays off.
Yeah.
This is the good news. In order to stay home with your kids before they're like in college and you don't recognize them, which could happen like, psst, you know, the blink of an eye. So it's a very good thing that you didn't have. And of course, you'll listen to Animal World when you're playing with your kids.
Well, obviously.
But your last day is the last Sunday of this month. That'll be our Halloween trick or treat.
I know, last Sunday. It's already the 16th.
Yeah, I think we're on the day before Halloween. Isn't Halloween on a Monday?
Yeah, Halloween's on a Monday.
Yeah. So we'll trick-or-treat Gary for the last time on October 30th. And we started to get a little nervous last week because we didn't know who was taking over. And if it was somebody new, we figured they better be here to learn what's going on. But we got some good news this week. And that is... Uh-oh. I think I'm getting a kid picture. Oh,
yeah,
my, that's
picture.
The little Baker.
Yeah.
Now Baker is your youngest, your
13
boy.
13 months now.
13 months. And, of course, we don't want to forget Finley is your firstborn,
uh-huh.
your girl.
Yeah.
And Finley's is four now?
Uh-huh.
Four, and Baker's 13 months. This is
closing in on four.
Baker is, this is Baker is standing in front of somebody's front door.
Yeah, our front door, yeah.
It looks like it has a real estate box on it.
Oh, yeah. That's a different story.
Well, You can't just show me a real estate box. Anyway, this delightful young man here is standing in front of the door, and he's got little white sneakers on and some little baggy little pants, and then he's got like a gray little jacket, parka jacket on with a hood up over his head, and he's kind of giving us a thumbs up.
Just smiling and happy.
Smiling.
He's starting to toddle around, walk around a little bit.
Cute guy. He sort of looks like you. You think he looks like Dad? And he looks, you know, kind of a combination of you and Mary, I think. Who does the family think he looks like?
I don't know. I don't know if people never really say.
But he's adorable. Absolutely adorable. Cute kid. I think we better get him into the studio.
I know. He should make a studio appearance soon.
Yeah, I think so.
He'd like it.
Well, why don't we have the family come in on the 30th? Hey, Mary, are you listening? Are you available? What do you think?
I'll check.
Bring in the kids?
Yeah, that'd be fun.
I think that'd be fun. We could have an official party.
An official party?
Yeah.
An official going away?
Yeah, yeah. And we could let the kids talk on the air.
Oh, they'd like
that. How fun would that be?
I think they'd like that.
Last day on the radio with Dad?
Yeah.
Ooh. I like that idea. Let's work on that.
Okay. I'll see what I can do.
And then maybe we can even get some photographs that we could post on the website.
Oh, yeah. That'd be good.
So we'd have you permanently. Well, we have you
We can add to the
Yeah, because we've got some of you and the family up with Freedom the Eagle and that sort of thing. That's on the current events section at MarthaNorwalk.com, folks, if you're interested.
Benny was just asking about Freedom the other day.
Uh-huh.
She's a big fan.
Yeah, and Freedom, of course, last time I saw her, I saw Freedom and Jeff were at the Swifts Night Out in Monroe.
Oh, yeah.
So, and Freedom was doing fine at that point, and I'm sure she still is.
Good.
About time they came into the studio again, probably. And, yeah, because Freedom hasn't been in to our new studio. She wouldn't have, the table's much bigger. We wouldn't have quite as much. Not sure, where would we put Freedom?
Probably in that corner behind you.
Well, that's sort of where she's been before, only it was at the opposite side of the room.
She needs
some room.
Room.
Yeah. I mean, she's like an eagle.
Yeah. Oh, like, yeah. Big. Yeah, she's big.
Yeah.
And it really points it out. It's really funny to see a bird that big in a... This is a pretty small space.
Yeah.
And she's big.
And
especially
and
when she gets her
wings
wing
going.
Extended. And, yeah.
Well, and probably... It's probably best that both her wings don't function properly. Well, because then she probably would have been released.
Right.
But the fact that one of her wings was broken so badly, it doesn't open completely.
Mm-hmm.
A full eagle wingspan is probably like 6 feet or something.
Yeah.
That might destroy equipment.
Hey, flap. It's amazing to see her flap up close. They're so powerful.
Yeah, and you can feel it like a long ways away,
uh-huh.
the wind. The wind and all of that. All right, well, we'll work on all of these things. Let's see, today...
We have a lot to work on, then.
Yeah. Aside from working on the weather and lightening it up outside, I've got some follow-up animals in the news. We do have some good news about animals. And then we are speaking of having a good time. Well, let's see, we'll do current events around normal time, 10:50, 10:55. Get a couple of new things on current events. And then 11 o'clock will be a fall into winter tip, because it definitely seems to be falling into winter here.
Yes. Yeah.
As we look out the window, make sure your animal friends are safe in the colder weather, and make sure you know how to get your small model dogs through the fall into the winter without having them fail house training, because it's getting too cold for their little tootsie-wootsies outside. I tell you how to take care of that on the fall and winter tip. And then sometime later in this hour, our incredible ladies from the high desert of Arizona, Dee and Willa, are going to join us. We'll find out what's going on down in the high desert and how they're faring, you know, after the fires and the floods and all of that, the winter weather coming in, and how their homesteading consulting business is going. And we're going to be talking about homesteading today and being more self-sufficient. And actually, we're going to talk about, animals and the kind of animals that work well in a homesteading, either in the city or if you can be out in the country, and how to feed them so they can feed you and all that good stuff. And there's a lot going on in the smaller farming industry that Dee and I were talking about on the phone. So we'll be talking about that too. And I think towards the end of the show, we probably towards the third hour, we may even open the phone lines and entertain your questions and concerns about homesteading, animals in general. And remember that Dee and Will, of course, are former animal radio talk show hosts and are very gifted and knowledgeable behaviorists and trainers in their own right. So we can field just about all kinds of questions. You might have a question for Gary, for heaven's sakes. Oh, and I, for heaven's sakes. See, I told you I need that brain stuff that we're talking about, because I started this whole discussion. It was your jacket that threw me off. That since you're leaving, that was the good and bad news.
Oh yeah,
but we know who's taken over. Who is going to attempt to fill your chair? And that would be, and we're excited because it's someone that's already familiar with Animal World.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all know him. It's Mike Roberge.
Yeah. Which is greatness.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, that remains to be seen. It's great news because Mike is a fabulous engineer.
Oh, yeah.
And he's very experienced. He knows what he's doing.
Great guy.
He has done Animal World a number of times, so he can kind of just slide in and know the drill. And I like him. He likes me.
Uh-huh.
All that good stuff. The only issue is that he, like me, is a night person.
Right.
So, you know, would not, I've just been thinking, not a real good idea if we have two people asleep at the switch here on Sunday morning. So, and that was a real problem when he fills in for you, because he was doing the night shift on Saturday night here at the station, was here till 2 a.m., so he usually doesn't get any sleep when he does Animal World.
Yeah, quick turnaround.
But you have heard a rumor that they're switching up his hours so that he can be awake for Animal World?
Yeah, I think that's how it's going to happen.
So we're going to check that out. But anyway, our good news is, da-da-da-da, Mike Roberge is going to do his best to fill Gary's chair.
Oh, he'll be great.
Yeah, I think so. I'm excited about it.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm a very loyal person. Well, I'm going to miss my Gary.
Well, I'll miss you, too. I'll be in, though, from time to time.
But, yeah, we'll have you from time to time.
Michael needs some time off now and again.
Yeah, we'll tell him just to get out and sleep in once in a while.
Yeah.
Make you get up again. But you can bring your kids.
See, yeah, that'd be fun.
All right. So
a little
anyway,
louder.
We feel like the bases have been covered, and we'll be good to go. Well, we'll be missing you.
Yeah.
But we will not be playing the Cougar song anymore. And I've decided that's the way we'll get you back in here, because if you don't show your face from time to time, we're just going to dump that sucker from the archives here, and it will just no longer be available.
I'm going to make it so it can't be deleted.
I doubt that you have that power.
I can find a way.
Give him a challenge. He'll figure it out. Okay. How about we see what's in the follow-up and animals in the news department. Oh, and do we have a live Psychic Speaks after today's show today?
Yes.
All right. So remember, live show, A Psychic Speaks after Animal World. So stay with us. And they depend on your phone calls. Well, that's interesting. The phone's ringing. I don't think that's Dee and Willie yet, but you never know.
I'll go check it out.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, because I have some unpleasant follow-up news to start with. And obviously you probably don't want to hear about it. I have to say that, remember last week we were talking about, there was a photograph in the Seattle Times of the three orca whales that had swum up the river in southwestern, the freshwater river, Nushkagak River in southwestern Alaska. Unfortunately, they have died. And it appeared that it was the two adults that died. Or the adults that died, but they said the juvenile had been seen downriver, but then in the article that I found, it says three orcas died. But that so I'm not sure if the young one got back to the ocean in time or not, if they all three went, but they didn't make it. So that was sad to hear. All right. Well, whoever it was, they're not on the phone anymore, so Gary should be joining us again soon. Oh, but he's taking time to do something in the other room, because I'm going to hold that one. Because let's see. This is something, nothing important? Nothing important. All right, I have this, I just have to say something, Gary.
Okay.
Oh, please.
What?
Nestle Purina Pet Care is releasing what it says is the first television commercial designed to appeal to dogs.
Oh, yeah, I heard this story.
The company says that animal behavior experts at Nestle Purina Product Technology Center in St. Joseph, Missouri, have helped to develop this commercial aimed at selling Beneful dog food. The ad will be shown in Austria, I guess, as a test market. The ad features squeaky sound of a dog toy and a bell. Oh, please. Folks, if you buy dog food because there's a squeaky toy on the commercial that appeals to your dog, we have not done a good job of educating you on Animal World over the last 17 plus years. How about Nestle Purina, a novel thought, Instead of putting all this time and energy into how to make a commercial that appeals to the dog, how about you put the money into improving the quality of the food you produce for the dogs?
Advertising towards the dogs seems somewhat pointless since the dogs won't actually be making the purchase.
Well, but see, they're trying to figure out a way to get people to buy the food.
Yeah.
Well, how about making the food better for the animals?
I didn't know Nestle owned Purina.
Yeah.
They own everything.
Yeah. Nestle. Yeah. Don't even get me started.
I think Nestle, Coke, and Pepsi own about half of food.
Well, there's a lot
producers in the country.
And I think that it's kind of along the lines of Occupy Everywhere these days. Aren't we after the big corporations and the corporate greed that's going on? This is part of it. Let's make a commercial that appeals to dogs and then people will want to buy our dog food. Why don't you improve the dog food? For heaven's sakes. Concentrate more on making something that's better for the health of our animals. Because if I say too much, I'm going to be in trouble. So read the ingredients label. Okay. Oh, now here's a job that I wouldn't want. It didn't even occur to me that there is such a job, but I can understand this now. This made the front page of the Northwest Tuesday section of the Seattle Times. You could search it. The goal, bye-bye birdies. And this is a company, actually, that is local here, out of Ballard. It's the National Bird Control. And this company, this guy started this company in order to help businesses and whoever control pigeons, starlings, and sparrows. Which is a very interesting article. You may want to bring it up and read it because it talks about all of these birds apparently being non-native species and were imported for some reason or something or other. And like starlings were brought in from Europe to try to control some kind of insect, and of course they took over the planet. And they make up all kinds of words, Gary, so that people, it doesn't sound like they're doing what they're doing. Just killing birds. they shoot them. And they call that, you want to know what they call that?
Uh-huh.
Mechanical extraction.
Mechanical extraction. Nice.
Now, I'm not saying that these birds, you know, don't cause a problem and all of that, because they do. And all of that. But anyway, I learned a lot in reading this article about the kind of problems that these birds do cause, and the fact that there's a whole national business that's headquartered out of Ballard here to help businesses control these birds. And I really felt like this David Cheney, the owner of the company, it really seemed like he does really care about the birds, because when they do destroy nests and stuff, if they're babies, they collect them and they take them back and try to raise them and release them, and they try to do the most humane thing they can, and they try not to kill them if they don't have to, and all that kind of stuff. So it felt like me, like I thought I'd hold on to this and save it for Martha and Robin Sunday, and we'd tune into the energy and see if they really care about the birds. But it's quite interesting. I did learn a lot. Oh, here's another one. Oh, please. There's a lot of that in them. Did you hear about, once again, this is local. How many times have I told you, don't buy dogs online? These people in New York paid $7,500. For a German Shepherd, supposedly imported from Germany, maybe not, I don't know, that was supposed to be well-trained and socialized and to be a protection dog and all that sort of stuff. There was a big news story in the last 6 months about protection dogs and their sales and what a huge business that is, and people are making a ton of money. But they paid $75 from a company called Kraftwerk Canine in Rochester, Thurston County. that breeds, trains, and sells German Shepherds. Now, I've never heard of them. But apparently, these people, sight unseen, paid $7,500 for a German Shepherd that was shipped across the country to them. But then the company only gives them a week to decide if they're going to keep the dog or not. And they have to return it within a week if they want their money back. Well, apparently, the people emailed and let them know right away they were having trouble with the dog, that it wasn't was harassing their cat, it wasn't listening to them, it wasn't responding to commands, that it was trying to bite their kid, and all kinds of stuff.
Yikes.
And according to the newspaper article, now I realize there's always two sides to every story, but this just does not fly for me, that if these people really care about their dogs, and they're selling dogs for this kind of money, and this is a very low price for these protection dogs that are sold. Some of them go for hundreds of thousands of dollars. So I know nothing about these trainers. I know nothing about the business, but just the way that this shapes up in this story is not good. And according to the people that bought the dog, this company just kind of teased them on until they got out of the warranty period, which was a week, and then they said, oh, it's too late, you can't return the dog. And they're saying, oh, they didn't say anything to us about wanting to return the dog. And I'm sorry, if you are breeding and selling dogs, now maybe they're not breeding, they're importing from Germany, I don't care if they're training, whatever you're doing, if you're selling animals, in my opinion, I think that, especially in a situation like this, there ought to be a lifetime return policy. If the dog doesn't work for some reason, if you really care about those dogs, you will take them back and rehome them, fix them, whatever, support the people that are buying your dogs. I would think for this kind of money, and you're selling that dog, a trainer ought to go with the dog to wherever it's being bought to make sure the people can control it, it's settled in, all that sort of thing. Or the people that buy it ought to come out and meet the dog and learn to work with the dog and all that kind of stuff. But there should certainly be a longer return period and a guarantee than 1 week. Gary's nodding his head, so apparently you're on me. You're with me on this one, huh? Saving this one, too. We'll tune into that industry at some point. But that's just totally disgusting, totally irresponsible. And it means they're only in this for the money. They do not care. They don't care about their clients. They certainly don't care about these dogs. Mm-hmm. All they care about is lying in their pocketbook. And I don't care if the purchasers were the worst thing since sliced bread. Oh, and what happened? The dog is the one that ended up suffering because they put the dog on a plane and sent it back. And then these turkey noodles that run the business refuse to pick it up at the airport. So it ends up sitting at the airport, and then it goes to a kennel. And finally, all this rigmarole, eventually they went and got the dog back, but they say they're not going to return the money. Do not buy dogs online. Period. Unless you can check it out. I mean, because even and if you're just buying a puppy or, you know, a purebred dog or any kind of dog online, if you can't go and see where they're being raised and see what's going on, and if there isn't a lifetime guarantee and return policy, how do you know? You're either dealing with a puppy mill or you're dealing with unscrupulous people that all they care about is lying in their pocketbook. They do not care about the animals. It's probably a good thing that Dee and Willa are not online with me now, because they would, if we run out of things to talk about, I'm going to tell them about this. And because they'll go off too. Clean up your act, you people that are selling trained dogs. If you don't care about the dogs, get out of the business. Whew. Man, I'm tough.
Yeah, listen to that.
Well, I care about the animals. Mm-hmm. That kind of money, they ought to care about them too. All right, here's just, it's an article out of USA Today that was sent to me by a loyal fan. And it is about puppy mill dogs. And, you know, I certainly could have told you this, but apparently they've actually, Best Friends Animal Sanctuary, has done some research that the psychological damage suffered by the dogs living in puppy mills is profound and exists long after they've been rescued. Well, as an animal, and this is according to a new study, as an animal behavior therapist, I could tell you that because I do a lot of work with dogs that are being rehabilitated after being in puppy mills. The study gives us strong evidence that dogs kept in these large-scale breeding facilities don't just suffer while they're confined there, but carry the emotional scars out with them for years, even when they're placed in loving homes. And anecdotal evidence has long suggested that lacking normal human contact and living with the pain and discomfort that are systemic in puppy mills leave dogs with post-traumatic-like behaviors. This is the first large study comparing mill survivors to dogs raised in homes. And the study compared owner-reported psychological and behavioral characteristics of 1,169 former breeding dogs compared with 330 new dogs without the mill history. The dogs from puppy mills showed significantly elevated levels of fear and phobias, compulsive and repetitive behaviors, and heightened sensitivity to being touched. Well, no surprise there. Let's hope we can end the practice of puppy mills at some time in the foreseeable future. All right, we'll end with our last general news story, take care of our advertisers and sponsors, and then we'll come back with the best good news about animals. How does that sound? This is an interesting, and this there'll be a tie-in to good news, because I've got a butterfly story here. And an excellent story about monarch butterflies, and I got this out of the last Sunday's Seattle Times. Search it, because I learned a lot. Will scorched Texas derail butterflies' trip? Well, Gary, I don't know about you, but I always thought that butterflies, I just didn't know that much about butterflies. I always thought of butterflies, you know, like moths, that they start out, you know, in a chrysalis, and they come out of wherever they come out of, and they're caterpillars sort of thing. And then they roll themselves up and become whatever they be, and then they come out and become a butterfly.
Mm-hmm.
And I always thought, like, you know, if a butterfly started here in Seattle, that it stayed here in Seattle. Well,
right.
Well, that's not true. At least these monarch butterflies, they migrate. I had no idea. So it's a fascinating article, but it has a complicated enough migration in good years, but, you know, Texas has got all the fires and the drought and all that stuff going on. And the monarchs apparently leave the southwestern United States and go east and go through Texas to get, and they come down from Canada and the northern United States and from the southwest or southeast, and then they go down through Texas into Mexico, where they spend the winter. And then after the winter, they fly back up to all those places.
Wow. Seems like a long ways to go for a little butterfly.
Yeah, yeah. And so anyway, you've got to search this story. If you know as little about butterflies as it turned out I did. I mean, this is fascinating stuff. But you can imagine, they need water, and they need nectar and all that stuff while they're flying all this way on their migration. And they're supposed to be tanking up and getting to be fat little porky butterflies so they can, you know, rest down in Mexico mm-hmm. before they come back. Well, if they get fried in Mexico, in Texas, on the way to Mexico, they're going to be in trouble.
Yeah.
So that's what this is all about. So anyway, we might want to send some prayers and energy to the monarch butterflies. Okay. Now remember that, because it's going to tie into good news. So that wraps up the general news. We do have good news. Let's take care of our advertisers and sponsors. And remember, that's the most important part of the show, because without them, there's no us. So please listen, support our sponsors. We'll come back and do the best good news about animals. And then if Dee and Will have not finished their chores, speaking of all the animals, in the high desert of Arizona, Gary and I will chat about other stuff. I gotta fill you in on ping and pong and the cat run stuff. And, oh, and I got some Dr. Pluckner and endocrine immune balance news. I got all kinds of stuff to talk about. So stay with us. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Hey, did you know that even if you feed the highest quality all-natural foods, even if you home cook, the ingredients in that food has been exposed to heat, light, and oxygen, and that begins to destroy a lot of the important stuff. Well, that's why Designing Health created The Missing Link. Now, they start with human-grade, all whole natural raw food sources. They've perfected a way to protect it from heat, light, and oxygen. Comes to us in a powdered form in a resealable gold foil pouch. You keep it in the refrigerator. Once you've opened it, mix up your animal friend's food, add in The Missing Link, and voila, you've added what's missing. Like the balanced omega-3, 6, and 9 oils, the enzymes in the raw ingredients. Now, The Missing Link comes in a formula for dogs, one for cats, and by the way, it tends to eliminate excessive shedding problems in dogs, and it eliminates hairball problems in cats. And there's a vegetarian formula, so you can feed to both your dogs and cats. There is a bird formula and a horse formula. And Missing Link Plus with glucosamine that will help support connective tissue and bone health. And that comes in a dog and horse formula. I want you to ask for the Missing Link wherever you shop for premium pet supplies. You can go to directly to Designing Health if you are interested. You can give them a call at 1-800-774-7387. That's what you were pointing out. 800-774-7387. Or visit them online at www.designinghealth.com.
Call into Mystic Radio with Robin Alexis Wednesdays at 12 noon Pacific and 3 p.m. Eastern Time for your free on-air readings. Robin uses her ability as a karma specialist, medical intuitive, and metaphysical healer to assist you in removing blockages so you can experience life more fully. She's a medium who can talk to your spirit guides and angels. And check out Robin's Soul Spa at robinalexis.com.
Massage is good for everyone, including your pets.
Learn animal massage close to home at the Northwest School of Animal Massage. The Northwest School of Animal Massage offers a full schedule of classes, including massage for canines, small and large animal certification, and equine ligament therapy.
For more information, go to nwsam.com or call 877-836-3703. Locally, call 425-222-3703. That's 425-222-3703.
Join their Facebook page for exciting announcements and the latest class updates.
Does your dog experience bad breath or gas? Does your cat spit up hairballs? Try Optigest. Optigest is a natural formula of digestive enzymes and the prebiotic FOS. Even pets with a healthy diet can experience digestive upset due to diet change, separation, or the normal aging process. Optigest works fast and has no inactive ingredients. Optigest supports intestinal balance and a healthy immune system to promote more comfortable, active, and vibrant dogs and cats. Ask for Optigest at your natural pet store today. The latest must-have for dog owners is a custom-made Breeze Guard, a powder-coated welded wire mesh screen that quickly and easily fits into your car's windows. Breeze Guards keeps your dog in the car with the windows open, keeps strangers' hands out of the vehicle, and gives you peace of mind that your dog is safe and happy in your car, parked or moving. Go to MuttManagers.com for complete product details and information on ordering Breeze Guards. Your dog will love you for this. Check out MuttManagers.com.
Manson Mitchell, Saturday mornings at 10. Good gab, great guest. It's all about the art of dynamic living, shared by celebrated people from all walks of life, many with a claim to fame. Then at 11, The Gary Mantz Show. 2 hours of mastery and mystery from transformational teachers that show you how to get to where you want to go in life, to lively discussions of the world's most perplexing paranormal phenomena. That's Manson Mitchell, Saturday mornings at 10, followed by The Gary Mantz Show at 11 Pacific on Alternative Talk, 1150.
Tired of the insanity of other talk radio stations? Just click your radio knob and say, there's no place like Alternative Talk 1150.
Yeah, just tune into the insanity here. We'll cover that base for you. Hey, I'm Martha Norwalk, and say thank you for spending your Sunday morning with us here on Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. And, boy, we got through the news. I had to rant and rave about a few things. But now, and we really need this morning here, because the trees are leaking, it's time for the best good news about animals. Woohoo! Yeah. Remember yesterday? It was fabulous. Gary, I just looked over my shoulder. It's getting worse, not better. Seattle disappeared.
Yeah. It's still dark.
Uh-huh.
I think we're in daylight hours.
Right? Hard to tell. But
it really
that means
is dark.
It means either the fog's getting worse, but I mean, we at least we could sort of see the outline of the buildings in Seattle. But they're gone.
Yeah.
All right, you powers that be. You
it's
heard
another
sunshine.
Good morning to stay home and listen to Animal World.
It is. Won't be no cutting the grass right now, folks. Just stay right where you are. And I can. There must not be nothing good happening sports-wise because Gary doesn't have anything good on the radio. It's just people talking, so you might as well listen to us.
Is that distracting you?
No.
I can turn that off if you want.
No.
Okay.
You are so much more appealing to look at than that. Besides, I'm not the one that watches TV. You are.
Well, football's going to start in about 20 minutes.
Would that be the Seahawks?
No, they have a bye week.
That's right. They're off this week.
They won last week.
Well, then we don't care. Well, yeah. It's a good thing we have a couple weeks to savor it because, you know, it never may happen again.
Yeah, that's true.
All right. Well, oh, well, no, we can't do that. It's time for good news. What was I thinking? Okay. I have a good bear story. Now, all right, maybe I'm reaching here. Because Daddy Bear is coming home. All right, so it's not a real bear. But it's a bear. Did you hear the story of when the white stuffed teddy bear was lost on Interstate 90 near Ellensburg, a little girl's heart was broken. The bear was given to Justice Wadworth, 6, by her father just before he was deployed to Iraq when she was 2 years old. On Tuesday, she was with her grandparents driving over I-90 when she started feeling sick. Her grandparents pulled over, and when they returned to their car, the bear was gone. Justice's grandmother, Patricia Sweeney, posted something about the lost bear on Facebook. And because the State Department of Transportation was worried that Good Samaritans might try to look for it on the busy freeway, maintenance workers looked for the bear themselves. And workers Terry Kukas and Harry Nelson found it Thursday afternoon and delivered it to Justice and Cedra Woolley Thursday night.
Well,
isn't that sweet?
Yeah.
And she was so pleased. I mean, because to her, the bear is her daddy. Because, you know, he's off deployed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why she called it Daddy Bear. But isn't that sweet?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably is a good idea not to have a bunch of Good Samaritans combing.
Yeah, looking for a stuffed bear alongside the highway.
Yeah.
Yeah. So good for them. They got out there. Now, remember I told you there was that the butterflies flew into the good news. It's a different butterfly story, but I thought this was really cool. Now, I also got this out of the Seattle Times Thursday. And search Learning Lessons from Butterflies. This is very cool. I had no idea that a program like this, you know, you're familiar with, and we've talked about it on the air over the years, the women's prison in Purdy and the dog training program in Purdy. And then I mentioned there's a program going on at the Monroe Prison where some of the inmates are raising kittens in their cells, you know, to socialize cats through Perfect Pals. And that's very, very cool. Well, get this. In Mason County, prison inmate Carolina Landa stood inside a human greenhouse Wednesday and gazed at the delicate butterfly in a clear plastic container boasting about her role in its creation. Landa, 29, and another inmate from Mission Creek Correction Center for Women have spent 8 hours a day, 7 days a week for much of the year reading, writing, and watching butterflies. Quote, it's a wonderful experience and it's very rewarding. It's very interesting and amazing to help populate life. Earning an average inmate wage of 42 cents an hour, My, aren't we generous? Yeah. The two women are part of a training program ultimately designed to boost the population of Taylor's checker spot, a once thriving species of Northwest butterfly now considered threatened. The women work inside the military-funded greenhouse on the grounds of the correction center in Belfair. For now, they're working with a species of butterfly known as painted ladies in preparation for the arrival next year of the much more delicate Taylor's checker spot. So how cool is that? The military has bought them this greenhouse and set up this Save the Butterflies program. And so the inmates are learning to raise and care for butterflies and, on an, you know, the painted ladies to start with. And then they're going to do these Taylor's checker spots next year. And hopefully save a species of butterfly. Isn't that cool? What a delicate energy butterflies have. It's got to, they've got to have a wonderful influence on the prisoners. And wow. I think that's so cool. Okay. Now, the winner of the best good news about animals. If you remember last week on Current Events, I announced the first ever free adoption weekend at Seattle Humane Society, you know, right across the highway from us. They never did a free adoption weekend. Well, a record-setting 226 animals were adopted during the Seattle Humane Society's first ever pet adoption fair. Adoption fees were waived on all animals, Seattle's adoption floor and their website, October 7th through 9th. 103 pets were adopted on the first day of the vet setting an, of the event, setting an all-time high for the most animals adopted from the shelter in a single day.
Wow.
So how cool is that? Nearly 2,500 people visited the Seattle Humane over the weekend. And the most mature, they looked at all, you know, hundreds of kittens and puppies, dogs and cats and critters. 70 kittens found homes of their own. 47 fabulous senior and long-timer cats and dogs got homes. And the most mature animal adopted during the three-day fair was Tabby, a 15-year-old brown and black tabby cat. How cool is that?
That's fantastic.
Woohoo! So congratulations, Seattle Humane, and everybody who got new animal friends last weekend. So, sounds like maybe it's a good idea to do a free adoption event from time to time.
Apparently.
And let people put their money into the care and feeding of the animals and hope that they do that.
Free is a good price no one can complain about.
Right. You know, there is that philosophy, though, that many say, don't give the animals away, because that psychologically establishes their value sometimes. And if people don't pay for them, they aren't as inclined to take care of them. But let's hope that's not the case.
Yeah.
Let's hope that it allows them to adopt a wonderful new animal companion for their family, and then they will spend the money and taking good care and providing food and veterinary care and whatever else they need to do.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of that, I have to say, you know that I've been telling the boys are back, Ping and Pong story, that I'm raising two delightful little ruddy Abyssinian cats. It has expanded my cat population to four now because I have my elderly G-Man at 14 and a half almost, and Sophie Sweet Cheeks, who's a little over a year now, and the Abbey boys, Ping and Pong, which were my Scooty and Jopie, come back, and new little ruddy Abyssinian bodies. And I have always called them Abyssinians, that is, ruddy Abyssinians, dogs and monkeys in cougar suits. Oh, boy, is that ever true. I mean, these boys are unbelievable, and they are now healthy and strong and goofy and bounce off the wall. Well, you know, when I moved into my new place a couple of years ago out in Monroe, the first thing I did was hire Scotty, the cat run guy, you know, to build this fabulous Taj Mahal, this huge outdoor cat run for my cats. And it's the largest one I've ever built. It's 20 by 22 feet, and so it's huge. It's built around a huge old cedar stump, and there is a cat door in the wall of my house with a sky bridge breezeway that the cats can walk across into their cat run. And I didn't introduce Ping and Pong to the cat run initially because, you know, they were, you know, had an upper respiratory virus and they were so teeny and all of that. But I've been taking them out as they've been getting older and stronger from time to time in the cat run. Well, when I start taking them out, now the cat run has tall climbing and scratching posts in several areas around the sides of the cat run. And my vision and Scotty's as the cat run guy and the builder, we intended at some point in the future, you know, that he would be available to build things up above, you know, an upper level of the cat run and stuff. And, you know, that hasn't happened yet. But these little Ping and Pong, of course, they get that on that cat run. I have been doing cat runs now for probably 15 years, and this is the third one I've done. And I've advised and helped a number of clients to do cat runs. Never seen this happen. Ping and Pong, they straight up the wire walls to try to get as high up into the cat run as they could get. Well, and Pong fell off from, like, you know, 10 feet up. And fortunately, G-Man, my big blue Abby, was right underneath him, and he fell on top of G-Man, so he was not injured. But that was kind of scary. So I have to tell you that I talked to Scotty about it, and we took a look at the cat run, and Ping going up the side of the walls of the cat run gave us this idea to build what I didn't know what to call it, but Scotty called it a rim loft. So it's like shelves at the top of the cat run. And on the ends, it's higher than on the sides. So the sides is like 22-foot shelves that are 16 inches wide that go the full length of the Taj Mahal cat run. And then on the ends, they're 20 feet long and they're 16 inches higher. So there's now a rim loft all the way around the inside of the cat run. And then on the ends where the shelf is higher, at the end, each side of the shelf, we put a hole in the shelf so that they can go down to the lower level or jump up to the higher level. And then they get up to the rim loft by either we kind of moved the tall climbing and scratching posts on the side of the cat run. We moved them out, and then we put cinder blocks underneath one of them to make one on each side higher, so that then there was like kind of a staircase graduated elevation, so the cats can start on one of the climbing posts, climb to the top of that, go to the other one, and then jump up to the rim loft. And they can do that on two sides of the cat run. And then on the other side, I had from my original cat run at the farm, I had saved an old 4x6, you know, that's huge, really heavy. And we had carpeted with old leftover carpet in at the farm. And, boy, this was probably, gosh, I don't know, at least 15 years ago, if not more. And so that went to that got carried to the cat run in Seattle when I went to take care of Dad, and then it got carried out here. Well, we recarpeted that, and so they can run up this 4x6 to get to the rim loft. And, oh, I got to tell you, Gary, it is absolutely unbelievable. The cats are so happy. Even Miss Sophie Sweetcheeks has figured out how to get up to the rim loft in the cat run. They're running around, going through the holes, up and down. It is just crazy out at the cat run at my house. And that's why I need the sun to come out, because I promised the boys that we'd play in the cat run when I got home. But, you know, it needs to be, like, decent. Well, you know, it's not wet inside the cat run because it's covered and all of that. But, they're still in baby suits. So, you know, it has to be warm enough. And, you know, anyway, I would like it to be a nicer day. Anyway, fabulous, fabulous, fabulous. idea. And you know what? I'm Gary. I'm trying to. I've suggested to Cat Run guy Scotty that he create a side business to build cat runs and catios.
Yeah.
For people.
That's a good idea.
For listeners. And so he's working on that idea because he did for, you know, his sister-in-law, Jeff and Linda, you know, mm-hmm. Jeff and Freedom. Mm-hmm. He enclosed their deck this summer so their cats could go out and have a catio. And, of course, he built the Taj Mahal for me. And he's a great builder. And I have to say, the Rim Loft is absolutely phenomenal. He's a great builder, and it's incredible quality. And he's quite creative. In what he does. So if you're thinking about, gee, you'd like to have some kind of an outdoor cat enclosure, could be teeny, could be huge. Scotty's your guy.
Yeah.
And he's thinking, he's liking the idea of doing this on the side. So if you're interested, we'll hook you up. I'm saying you should create a couple little, we'll create a couple of commercials and run them on the air for him.
Yeah,
pay him
great
for
idea.
Call screening, you know.
Right, right.
Okay, well, so that wraps up that. I didn't get to the Dr. Plechner stuff and my G-Man story, and that's a biggie, but we might get to that with Dee and Willa, because apparently our ladies from the High Desert have checked in.
Yeah, correct? On the line.
All right, well, why don't we, before we're on, we're getting close to the top of the hour, but let's at least say hi and get started before we turn the hour around. So we have got on the line from the High Desert in Arizona, we've got Dee and Willa. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
Ha! Stereo. Very nice. All right. Now, let's, so everybody can recognize voices. Dee, say hello.
Hello.
That's Dee.
And
You're Dee. And Willa?
Hi. Good morning.
All right. I think there's enough difference in their voices. We can tell who's who. So I take it you guys have got all the chores out of the way with all your animals and stuff going on down there?
Well, not exactly.
Oh.
I think Willa is still trying to rake out the trailer for the feed delivery that's coming in, hopefully not until after 12.
I see.
So we are outside. It's an absolutely gorgeous, spectacular day here. And I heard you mention that you wished it was a better day. Well, you'll just have to beam yourself over to the high mountains of Arizona, because this is about as perfect as it gets.
Oh, well, why don't you describe it to us, and then it can kind of waft northward up here to us. So what is the weather like in the high desert right now?
Word number one, sunny. Word number two, sunny. Word number three, sunny.
Oh. And when sunny in mid-October in the high desert of Arizona, what kind of temperatures are you getting?
I would say, well, this is the strange thing. I think they're predicting possible triple digits again in Phoenix this weekend, which is very unheard of down there. So we may actually touch 80. We were a little happier at 70. I had to dig my summer clothes back out and go find a pair of shorts again this morning. But, you know, right now I'm grateful for warm, because about 8 days ago, we hit a low of around 21.
Wow.
And we weren't ready for it.
Well, that's below freezing.
We're really happy for this reprieve. And the big deal for me is no wind.
Yay.
No wind.